and the assurance that comes from your precious word. Again, we just thank thee for all your blessings. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. Brother Charles loved singing. It's been probably about 30 years ago that I first met him when he would come to Waynesboro, to Hagerstown, when we had a small assembly there, and he would, on a regular basis, come to Hagerstown to help out with the ministry of the word there. And he always enjoyed singing. I told him one of his favorite songs was How Great Thou Art, a song that really hasn't been that well known until just the past, in the past half a century. It was found by someone brought to England and then introduced to a young man named George Beverly Shea. And we all know the rest of how this came to be its popularity. But How Great Thou Art was one of the favorite songs that he had, and I think that this song probably summed up our brother's relationship with the Lord. Verses 1 and 2 focus on the Lord, and that was the desire of our brother Charles' life, wasn't it? In verse 1 we read, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. In verse 1, we see the grandeur of the skies. We see the quiet and calm of a starlit night. We're introduced to the sheer power of a thunderstorm. And in each of these acts, our hearts are turned to the might and power of our God. A God with whom the word of his mouth spoke, and each of these things came into existence. In verse 2, we get a picture of calm assurance. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. You see a quiet walk through a forest, broken only by the chirping of the little birds. You see yourself standing on a mountainside, feeling a gentle breeze against your face as you look down into the valley at the cool brook flowing below. And again, you're taken to the one who created it all. One who's all-powerful, and yet one who looks down in love and mercy. And Brother Charles' life was constantly in tune with this Creator, and the sustainer of these beautiful pictures set forth in these verses. But in a greater sense, I think, the picture that's set forth in verse 3 had the greatest impact upon Brother Charles' life. Because in this verse, despite the glories of verses 1 and 2, we see a dark picture. It says, And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. God's creation was perfect in every way, but then in a quick moment, that creation was marred by sin. And that sin affected not only those who had committed it, but it was passed down to every individual of every age. But our brother Charles had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he could look at those verses, look at this verse 3, as not a verse of hopelessness, but a sense of awe and reverence. The Creator in his wondrous love did not spare his only begotten Son. God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for mankind. He could look at it in a personal way, for on that cross, Jesus Christ bore the burden and took the punishment for the sins of Charles Martin. And yet, it's the very same for each one of us gathered here today. Whatever our name is, on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ bore your sins, paid the price that you might have eternal life. So that a verse that seems so dark, speaking of sin, yet as it comes to the end of it, that refrain can be sung again. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And then our brother could dwell on verse 4 with a sense of anticipation. Verse 4 says, When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, that I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. As the years moved on and the frailties of the human body took its toll, there was no doubt that anticipation and desire to hear that shout on the heart of our brother, that shout of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. He didn't live to see the personal return of the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet on November 21st, 2002, came that moment when our brother Charles found himself at home in the presence of the one who for so many years he'd been able to sing about, how great thou art, how great thou art. You know, it's with a sense of joy that we can gather here today, rejoicing that one of God's faithful servants has finally finished the journey. The work on here is now done. And now he's enjoying the presence of his Lord and Savior. And yet, always on an occasion such as this, there is some sadness and separation. But if we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, we have the assurance, don't we, that this separation is only temporarily. One day, and I think that day is probably going to be very soon, we're going to be caught up to beat the Lord in the air. Or if he doesn't come in our lifetime, if we know him as our Savior, one day we're going to be called into his presence in the very same way as our brother Charles. And so we can rejoice, I think, in this song and in the words and its meaning as it had in his life. When I think of brother Charles also, I'm kind of reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And just a few years that I knew Brother Charles, I think he set forth as an example all these attributes in his words, in the way that he walked day by day, in all that he did. He showed a faithfulness to the Lord, a faithfulness in the ministry of God's word, a faithfulness in even in the times of recreation. I know many times of seeing that as a younger person at Greenwood Hills, people maybe 50 years Brother Charles is younger being soundly beaten on the shuffleboard court. And so in whatever he did, I think he put his all into it, didn't he? He was an example in every aspect of life. I didn't meet him until after he had retired and after when he had come back from California. But from folks who had worked with him or had known him before, I understand that he lived that example in the workplace. He showed that example in his service for the Lord, whether it was at Greenwood Hills in the summertime. You could always find him faithfully there at the meetings, whether in the day or in the evening, at the prayer meetings, always helping out, whether it was ministering in Waynesboro, Hagerstown, Greenwood Hills. He was faithful to that word of the Lord, faithful for proclaiming the Lord he loved and the message of the gospel. He was always an encourager to young men, wasn't he? Whenever a young brother would speak, he would always have an encouragement at the end of the message. Maybe a comment of some help to apply the words that have been spoken. But his desire was to see young men going forward and serving the Lord more and more. He loved children, and he was always willing to take time for the little children that were around him wherever he might be. But whatever it was, his whole desire was for the Lord. Brother Charles was a man of the book. The book was such a very important part of his life, the Word of God. He never went to a seminary. He probably wouldn't have considered himself a theologian, but he was one who knew the Word. And that Word was a result of his daily relationship with the author. He knew the author of the book, and that book was very evident in every aspect of his life, day by day. I think in one sense this should be a challenge to each of us here today who know the Lord is our Savior, that this book should have a preeminent place in our lives as well, shouldn't it? I'm sure as our brother went into the presence of the Lord, he was welcomed with, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But look, as we look around at the world today, it seems sad sometimes that this book becomes less and less important, even in the lives of those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And sometimes we might be tempted to kind of make the excuse that, well, we live in a different day. Things are more difficult now than they were when our brother Charles was starting out in that generation. We can look back and say our brother was born at a time when the Wright brothers were just perfecting the first generation of the aircraft. And today, in a moment, we're sending people thousands of miles into space. And we can kind of make the excuse that, well, we live in such a fast-paced society that it's very different, very difficult to have the same time and the same appreciation of the Word that maybe some of our older brothers and sisters have shown over the years. You know, I think Matthew has an answer for us, an answer to our excuses, because he says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, and these are words for everyone, for every believer of every generation, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Charles had a treasure in the Word of God, and it was evident in his life and testimony. But he would be the first to tell us that this relationship was not something that he was born with. It wasn't something that he purchased. It wasn't something that he earned. There came a time in his life when Charles Martin realized that he needed a Savior. And that same thing is true of each of us here today. I would hope that every one of us who are gathered here today could say that we have the very same assurance that Brother Charles did, that one day we're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe there's someone here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, we can attend church all of our life. We can be good people. We can do many good works. But God's Word says, there is none righteous, no, not one. His Word says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One day, Charles Martin realized that he had no hope in himself. And that day he came to the point of putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ became his Savior. And from that point on, he walked a life that was a daily journey with that Lord until a few days ago when the Lord called him home. Because of his decision today, Charles is in heaven in the presence of the one who loved him and gave himself for him. And only those, though, who have made that decision face the same assurance, face the same future that our brother did. And so it behooves us at this time to take a moment in our own lives, to examine our own hearts, and to ask ourselves, what have I done with God's Son? How great thou art, said God, spared not his Son. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth. He was treated in a most cruel manner, mocked by the people that he loved, nailed to a cross by the Roman soldiers, beaten unmercifully. But yet, as he hung there on that cross, he took the penalty for your sin and for my sin. He paid the price that we could never pay. And so we need to ask ourselves, have I accepted the gift that he offers? He died for me. He became my substitute. He arose again. And today, he's preparing a place for each individual who knows him as their Savior. What have you done with God's Son? God loved you. He paid the price for your sin. And now he offers you the opportunity. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. A wonderful promise. A wonderful promise from a loving God. If you've taken this step, one day you'll have the occasion to meet our brother again. If you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, why not just do it even today? And you can begin that very same journey that Brother Martin began many years ago, a journey that goes on until we're called into the presence of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In closing, I'd like to read another hymn that I think sums up the hopes of our brother. You know, as our lives go longer on this earth, I think this hymn speaks more of the things that we maybe face, and yet before the believer, there's always a wonderful anticipation. And this song was entitled, When We See Christ. It says, oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear, we're tempted to complain, to murmur, and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away, all tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er. All storms forever pass. We'll cross the great divide to glory, safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burden down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Charles ran his race, and on November 21st, he finished that course and was called into the presence of his Lord and Savior. And today, he's enjoying that wondrous presence, which I hope that one day each of us here will be able to enjoy as well. Let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your wondrous love. As we think of your creation, every little thing that you've put before us, whether it be the stars in the sky or the rolling thunderstorms, whether it be the quiet brooks or the chirping of the birds, we see your wondrous power in every aspect. And yet we realize that we were a sinful people. We were lost. But in your glorious power, we see your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to this earth, going to that cross and there dying for our sins, that we might have a hope and assurance of eternal life. Father, we thank you for the life that our brother Charles Martin exhibited before the world, for his testimony, for the words and deeds that he was able to do in your behalf here on this earth. And we thank you now that the frailties of this earth are gone, the illnesses and the things we have to face in our later years. And he's now in your presence, rejoicing forevermore with the one who loved him and gave himself for him. And Father, I pray that you would just speak to each of our hearts today, that as believers, we might desire to be people of your book. We might have that desire that our treasure might be found in your word. And if there's even one person among us who's unsaved, we just pray that this afternoon they might accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, so that one day, not only will they have that reunion with our brother, but one day they'll be in your presence forever and ever. Again, Father, we just pray for the family, for Kathy and her daughters and husband. We just ask you to be with each of them. Just give them comfort as you can during this time, and just give them the rejoicing that also you give as we have that wondrous assurance of where those who know you are. And so, Father, again, we just commend all these things to you, thanking you for your love, for your mercy, for your goodness. It's in our Savior's name we pray. Amen.